Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back to another Friday Book Club discussion here on the Literary Escape Podcast. And we are wrapping up the Minnesota Kingston series by Susan May Warren with Steinbeck as the final book. But before we dive into Steinbeck, do you judge a book's quality by its thickness? Do chunky books feel more satisfying, or do you prefer a quick, breezy read you can finish in one sitting?
Okay. I was laughing at your word choice.
Yeah.
the chunky books. I do not like extremely thick books. Okay, for example, Tabitha likes romanticy.
And
they're 800 to 1,000 page books. And they're like this thick. I'm like, I mean, if it's something I really want to read, might be, but I like this kind of thickness, you know?
Yeah.
Or like the Lynn Blackburn ones or Lynn Shannon. They're skinny.
Yeah, those would be your quick, breezy reads.
Quick, breezy reads, yes. But I don't like, I mean, if the book is written good is one thing, but
yeah,
if it's not.
What's like your perfect book page count?
Oh.
It's hard for me because it's on the Kindle. Like.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I don't get a lot of like.
Like 300 and less.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Yeah.
Mine's probably like 350.
Yeah, these are about perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The largest book I've ever read is the Bible, front to back.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, if I don't go for the big, thick books either. I love the wording of this, too. Mm-hmm. I like those quick, breezy reads,
mm-hmm.
which can be up to, like, 350 or so pages.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if it's much longer, I think it's just because, well, we all work.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have kids on top of that. Like, the time it takes. I can't imagine the time. That's like putting three of these books together, and it might take me 3 weeks or longer to get through three of these length books.
You know, if I was retired or didn't have to work, would be different. But when you think, I got to get these books done,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's more enjoyable to read them when they're not
super long.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm the same way. When we went into this series, I was like, oh, goodness, we have five books to read, and we only had a few weeks in between.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, hopefully I can get one done this weekend. But then
you were doing one a day.
Yeah, I got hooked on these. So it was perfect to read the like start them at lunch and then I'd finish them by bedtime. So like after work and, you know, so that
because you do some audiobook, too, right? Did you?
I did not do any audiobooks with this series because the library app didn't have them on the Kindle. It was on the Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah,
I did, and I started them on my phone, actually. So the first book, I was a little nervous because it showed it was longer, and I was like, oh, man.
It is the longest, I think, in this series.
Well, on my phone, it, like, shows, like, how much you have to go, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I really should get these started, but then once it was fine, I got them started. But, yeah, these are perfect, and I love how they built on each other.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you more into it.
Yeah.
And it makes it faster to read when you already have it.
Especially if you like to read something different.
Yeah.
In between. You know. It's nice. So.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't want to be stuck in a book for 3 weeks to a month.
Well, I was also nervous you guys put like a scary book in here. So I was like, I better read it to know.
You know what, Mom?
You know, I really have to finish my scary book.
When I tell Mom, I'm okay, these books are like modern suspense. She goes, these are the ones that Tiffany doesn't like to read that scare her, especially at night.
There wasn't Yeah, but not, these were okay. These were okay. Yeah. They're not as intense as
the triumph over adversity, I think, was really hard for you.
Yeah, those were a little bit harder. Yeah. Like, yeah. I was a little jumpy and scared. Yeah. These were set far enough away, maybe in the ocean. I'm not by an ocean. Yeah. I didn't feel like, yeah.
I'm not going to be in the ocean swimming with sharks anytime soon.
Right. Right.
So, if ever in my life. So. I've been in the ocean, but only to, like, knee deep.
Yeah, that's, I like the little shells, and that was about it.
That's right. All right. Well, Jessica, do you want to read Steinbeck to us?
Okay. There's trouble in the north. The last person she can trust is the man she left for dead. He's the only one who knows she's alive. So, Imberly Phoenix Hart has spent years proving herself as one of the Black Swans. Most capable operatives. But when her mission to secure a dangerous AI program leads to capture by the Russian mob, she's forced to reach out to the only man who knows she's alive, the man she betrayed. Steinbeck Kingston left his SEAL career behind after a mission gone wrong, a mission involving Phoenix. Now he's her only hope of escape, but trusting her again would cost him everything, including his reluctant heart. As they race to prevent the Russians from weaponizing stolen AI technology, Imberly and Steinbeck uncover a deadly betrayal that threatens everything they hold dear. With the enemy closing in and time running out, they must choose between protecting their hearts and saving countless lives, including those of Steinbeck's family. When the traitor strikes at the heart of Steinbeck's home, can Imberly finally trust and love enough to stop running? Or will her instinct to survive alone cost her the only real family she's ever known? A pulse-pounding romantic suspense that delivers heart-stopping action, soul-deep emotion, and a love worth fighting for.
Okay, this is the final book in this series, and it is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's honestly a tie between Austin and Steinbeck as to which one's my favorite in this series. The others are really good too, but everything like Phoenix and Steinbeck's story has been in the background of every one of these, so everything's been building up to them, which mm-hmm. I think probably is what made it a great read. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what made Austin and Steinbeck my favorite, because there's more of that in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the characters, you know the backstories, and mm-hmm. you just, they're like, mm-hmm. yay, they're finally getting together, and then you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you finally learn more about, because there's these flashbacks in this story of mm-hmm. when Steinbeck and Imberly met for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So Imberly, you know, is part of the Black Swan, so she's the super secret spy. And then Steinbeck's Navy SEAL team, mm-hmm. they were both going after the same... What do they call that?
Target.
Yeah. Whatever. And same guy. And they got to him basically at the same time. But then the op started going wonky, and Steinbeck and Imberly had to take the target out, just the two of them, while his team was mm-hmm. basically trying to wrap things up. And so they ended up together, and he kept saying, "You need to trust me. We'll get the target where, and you can get your intel from him. I promise, blah, blah, blah." Well, she's not a trusting person, mm-hmm. right? So, but then people on her team put a plan in place without her really wanting it to go that way, mm-hmm. which then ended up saving Steinbeck's life, mm-hmm. but had to walk away from him while he was still laying there bleeding,
mm-hmm.
which is why he had to leave the SEALs, because his injury kept him from being able to operate at full...
Right.
What do you call that? Full strength or...
Full, mm-hmm. yeah.
Capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of killed him. He loved his... he loved being a Navy SEAL. Mm-hmm. So, anyways... So then you learn about all of that. So that already puts a little kink in theirs, but then... There was always this attraction between them
mm-hmm.
that Steinbeck's like, well, let's see how this goes. What did you think about when he brought her home to the family? Because as his girlfriend, but they were still kind of faking it at that point. But mm-hmm. I think he was hoping it would be real.
He rescued her, right? Out of the Russian.
Oh, yeah. Let's back that up.
Started that.
Back that up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because that was really awesome. She sent this like secret message through the family's like booking site.
Yes, oh, through the inn.
Yes.
And he was like, I know what that. And he was,
because he kept having this feeling that she wasn't okay, which goes into their whole chemistry together, I think.
But when he did bring him, did he just say they were friends?
No, which they brought back to the house. He introduced her to the family as girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she got in Cuba.
Until Austin comes in.
Oh, yeah. That's what I wanted to ask about. Yeah. But let's back up to the rescue, because I totally forgot that came first.
Yeah.
So she got from Cuba put on in a shipping container and shipped to, I don't know where. Well, I can't remember
island,
where.
It was the same island where she lived.
Yeah, it was. You're right. And then they put her in this dungeon, basically. And there was a guy in the cell next to her, but he was like all shaggy looking. And she had kept hoping and hoping that Steinbeck would come for her. But she lost all hope when they closed the door on the dungeon. And she like was like, he's not going to come for me this time. Like, because really, when you think about it, from the first time they met, they've been getting in each other out of trouble ever since. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll come to his rescue. He comes to her. Somehow they always are in the same area. And then the guy in the cell starts talking. And it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets her out. Mm-hmm. And then, remember, I loved how she ran to him and, like, literally jumped into his arms, wrapped her arms and legs around him, and was like, you came! I was like, aw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so then there was that. And then he brought her home.
Well, they went back to her house, right?
Yeah.
And then
there is the Russian friend that comes in, the man, he is from one of her other series, and I can't for the life of me remember the name of it, but it is all on Russian operatives.
And yes, because some of the characters you read in this, there's a series, and the book is their name. Like,
yes. But the guy that comes in to her apartment that
knows
Steinbeck.
Might be the Minnesota Marshals.
I can't remember if they might be part of it, but I think the one that comes in is in that other series that has, it's pretty much all takes place in Russia.
Okay.
And he works for the Russian government.
Mm.
I'm pretty darn sure. I'd have to go back and look. I read that. It's a really good series of hers,
yeah,
too.
But before he takes her back to their family, doesn't she go to her sister's house?
No, that's afterwards, isn't it?
Yeah. That's they go back. Yeah. Because then they go to Florida, I think.
Is where her sister's at.
Yeah. Because then there's trouble down there, too.
Okay.
Yeah. But then, because the sister and her then end up in Minnesota. Yeah.
But how did you react to that scene where, like, when he's been talking to his whole family, like, this is my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. But then Austin walks in.
And he's like, no, she's not.
She wasn't nice about it.
No.
Oh, she did not like her.
And I think it's because she planted seeds of doubt about Declan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Declan is Austin's man, so that really upset her. But she's like, she's not his girlfriend. They're faking it. Last time I saw her, she was behind a burning truck or something like that.
Yeah.
She did come back and apologize to her.
She did.
But I mean, how did you react to that whole scene?
I was like, awkward.
It's kind of that twin thing. So they were really heated with each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, because his poor family was like, oh, he's never brought a girl home. It's like, really must like her. And then
getting all excited. Steinbeck's found his one.
And she was actually letting her guard down, too, which she normally didn't because she didn't have a family. She's used to running away. And I was afraid she's gonna run away again, but no, she stuck it out.
She did. I was proud of her. You're right. She's used to running away.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking there'll be a story about her sister.
There might be.
And you know what? I think there is. Her new series coming out that's like North, South, East, West.
Yes.
I feel like that one, but then she's got another one, doesn't she? The Scent.
Let me just look here.
She's got another one I just talked to her about that's coming out. I can't remember. I feel like the sister gets her story in that, actually, or she will be getting a story soon, because her sister's like this cyber tech super genius. Girl, what did you think about his reaction when he ran back to his to her sister's house when they were in Florida and her sister's house was on fire and Emberly was still in there? Well, he thought Emberly was still in there.
Is it called the Renegade? Heroes of the Renegade?
Might be.
She's got a lot. She writes a lot.
I know. What did you think about that scene, though, when he was, like, about ready to bust the door down to go get her, and she's like, I'm not in there. Remember that? When the house, her sister's house was on fire?
Oh, yes. Because he was down there talking to that guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Felt bad for her sister's home. Like her.
Yeah. But that's how they end up then back at
Minnesota.
In Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that really shows he did really care for her.
What do you have?
Her sister's book is coming June of 2026.
Over the Edge.
Over the Edge, a Summer Rangers novel. So the next series is a Summer Rangers.
Ah, okay.
So Summer Rangers. Because she's got Hunt for Alan Martin, which is the East, West, North, South.
Because this will be Liam and Nemu. Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, I think so. That's how I was saying.
And book two of that series comes out in July of this year. And book three comes out in August.
Oh wow.
I have to read that.
Okay, oh, Lord, so she can really write.
Yeah. That said with another author. Did you see that? It says with Terry Ferris.
Oh.
Did I say that?
Yep, you're right.
So.
Good grief. We got a lot to.
But she's full time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's done so many. She's got it down to an art, you know, on how to do it. But anyways, so a lot gets wrapped up in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But then, how did you react to they're at? This is towards the end of the book, okay? They're at Steinbeck's family's place, and those people show up. First of all, the inn gets blown up.
Well, it did, I don't know if it burns completely. Did it burn completely to the ground?
No, it was part. I feel like it was part of it.
Part of
because
it.
Because they were still like, part of them were pulling out furniture and stuff.
That's true.
And I was like, I don't know if I'd be pulling up. I don't know. But I don't know. I wouldn't know what to do in that situation, I guess.
I was mad.
Yeah.
It made me mad because I'm
attacking the family homestead.
Attacking the whole family. And this has been in book one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been their livelihood. It's got so much history. I did not like that at all.
And, but what? So, Emberly is not in physical condition to be able to help. So her sister stays with her back in the, but she's still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
But while she's there, then the guys come in to get her.
Mm-hmm.
And they take, she tries to fight, but she is too injured to fight. And they have her, and they're taking her and her sister out to the dock.
Mm-hmm.
She starts screaming for Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that whole scene?
It's her damsel in distress scene.
Yeah, yeah, I know, comes which and I love. Saves
him. Yeah, yeah.
I love that he came to save her.
And well, his whole crew, I feel like.
I mean, his whole family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jumped but in like, to save her.
At one point, he's the first one there, and he is literally fighting the guy underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my goodness, this is intense.
Mm-hmm.
But then his brothers come in and, you know, yank him off, and then he has to go get her. And
it's sweet.
It's super sweet.
I like how they have their fireworks. And her name's Emberly. I thought that was cute.
Yeah. And the end, when Boo was like, they're looking as their firefighters are working on the fire. And she's like, I don't know if this is a great time, but to make this announcement.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. But we're pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was sweet.
It made for a good ending.
It
yeah.
Did.
Yeah.
After all that, there is so much intense nail biting in both Austin and Steinbeck that, yeah, at the end, it's like, oh, some good news.
Can you imagine being the mom of this book? Like, all these kids causing all this trouble.
And she's so sweet.
I know. Yeah. They're all, like, out there being adventurous and murders and mm-hmm. craziness, Russian mobs, and
well, and yeah. the first time she popular. Went to
there are mobs children. That went through that
children.
In real life. Emily went to the county fair.
Yeah,
oh, like that was sweet. Yeah, I liked that. Thing,
yeah.
Oh yeah, all
that's
the,
where the dogs with the AI were. We're at the that's county right. fair.
Yes,
all the foods, and then we have to eat this. Yeah, and then we have to eat this.
Yeah.
Some yeah. of it sounded really good. I was like, I want some but then of this I was fair like, food. Like,
right? But that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever remember eating that much at a fair.
Oh, my word. We never did, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did it.
They were like, it's too expensive. We're packing a lunch in a cooler. And we ate lunch meat sandwiches and salads and chips. And then we would go back at the state fair. You know, you have to go back to your car, mm-hmm. eat your lunch. Then you go back. Did we ever buy any food at the fair? Maybe a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But there were also six of us kids, so
yeah.
mom and dad were like,
it's like too expensive. At the zoo, too. We always had to pack our
lunch. Yeah.
It's expensive, and it's not really always the greatest food, either.
Mm-hmm. No, but they were like, and then we come over here and eat the... I mean, that's really all it was at the fair
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
But didn't they talk, though, about they watched some sort of show? Was it showing of the cows or the horses?
Was it the pig? Something.
One of the yeah. animal shows. We used to, and it made me think of when we went to the state fair because we would always watch them show the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd go around and you had to go to the agricultural barn and we had to get our free cup of tomato juice. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
And
I didn't like it, but everyone's like, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. And we went to the dairy barn. Where they had the milk and the grilled cheese.
Yep.
And ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
We did do that.
We did that. And then you had to go to the mercantile. Was it the mercantile building mm-hmm. that had all like the sewing and art projects yes. and things like
sometimes
that?
Sometimes you just wanted to hit some of those because they were air conditioned.
Yeah, yeah, true. Then we had to go to the
historical
side because we always had to get mom her broom for the year at the state fair.
Mm.
You remember how they would make the brooms there? And she liked the multicolored ones. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Mom hasn't had a state fair broom in forever. You think they still do that?
I don't know, because they used to get yardsticks from there, too.
Yeah. Those were the things we had to do. And did we ever have to clog at the state fair?
I don't think so. You always got your free state map, Indiana state map.
Oh, yeah.
Always got that.
I feel like Rebecca may have clogged at the state fair once.
Maybe.
So we had to sit
but
and
yeah
that,
we always went to certain spots so.
Yeah
yeah
we watched the it was always the we always went on the day that they had the draft horses with yeah. the carts
yeah the cart and the wagon
yeah because grandpa loved it
mm-hmm.
and you drank your Pepsi and the Pepsi Cola
in the Pepsi Coliseum
that's right mm-hmm. I don't think it's called that anymore is it
I don't know
that I've ever went to a state fair.
It's Tiffany. Been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been, know. But it was fun. But we used to go, but see, now it's hard to go because they bumped up school.
Yeah.
Because it was always like the first 2 weeks in August.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to go. Now, when they first did it and kids showed like their animals and stuff, they got an exemption from school.
They still do.
Do they still do that? Because mm-hmm. they move school up so much farther, mm-hmm. it interferes.
Yeah, we went every year.
For a long time.
Most of our childhood, we went.
And by the time you were done, you were hot and you were tired.
Yeah, and it was probably a real cranky ride home.
Because I remember we went and Sammy and Josh were little.
And
I don't know if I still have that picture, but I wanted to do it for their open house. They're both standing there naked. And grandma's, because they're so dirty, we're giving them a bath.
Yeah.
And they're standing there naked by the bathtub while it's filling with water. Having this whole conversation and walking and stamp their backs out. Here's Sarah's cute little picture because they were so little. And I was like, it was after we went to the state fair. And I said, here's a good picture for their open house.
I bet they were just gabbing away about all they saw at the state fair.
But it is. Dad is grouchy. And when you leave, you shut your mouth. Don't talk to him.
Well, it's getting out of Indy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The traffic
like,
down there. And
don't
we're,
talk to me.
We're
until...
used to country driving.
Yeah.
And he does the city driving, but he does not like it at all. And it is complete silence. I don't want to hear a thing.
I did that
until
in Fort
I get out.
Yeah. anytime you're with dad and he's getting like traffic, if he's traveling and traffic gets bad.
Yeah.
Shut up. Yeah. We're not talking about doing anything.
And we have a very loving dad, but when he gets into traffic, he's like, everybody be quiet.
Or when he's hauling, like pulling something, he's like, you stay up with me. I don't care if you have to run a red light.
Yeah, because dad's really bad about when you follow him. He don't think about, oh, I just had to run a red light
or
to
yellow-
keep up with you, dad.
Yeah.
He just goes.
And if you get pulled over and get a ticket, too bad. Shouldn't have read
that. You shouldn't have ran the red light. You told me to keep on your behind.
Because if you stopped, he would have gotten mad. Like, he would have been like, yeah, you know.
But do you remember one time Tabitha let a balloon loose in the van and it went up and floated in front of dad? And he, like, stabbed the thing. It was like, keep those balloons at the back of the van!
I remember dad getting pulled over. And he was in the full-size van, and him and Grandpa were up front.
Yeah.
And had Mom and Grandma and us in the back. And he kept coasting through those lights, just going through them just as they turned red.
Oh,
and a cop pulled him
that.
Over, and there was too many of us in the vehicle. And get on the floor! Get on the floor!
Oh, I don't remember that.
I was like...
That was back before you had to have seatbelts, though.
I don't know. We were in the full-size van. And I remember that. And dad goes, oh, I remember that. I was just going through them just, they were yellow and just, and he'd done too many of them. And the cop pulled him. I remember
that. That's where I get it from. Yellow means speed up.
Sometimes I do that because I'm like, I don't want to stop at the line. I'm close enough. Because
then you get stuck by all of them. Yeah.
I know. Jeez. Okay. Well, I hope others have great state fair fun. Wherever they live, because everybody's got a state fair, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do our ratings. What is the mystery level?
Latte.
Latte.
I agree, latte. Suspense level?
Latte.
Latte.
It's the lattes all around. How about inspiration?
I would say espresso.
Espresso.
This one didn't have quite as much as Austin. So.
Yeah, I would agree. Drama?
Latte.
Latte.
Latte, latte, lots of drama. Romance. Mm.
Espresso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I would agree. It's just, again, sweet. And overall lasso rating?
3.
I could probably go 5 again. I know it's above our 3, but yeah. Totally an awesome read. All right, that wraps up our discussion of the Minnesota Kingston series. And next week we have an interview with Susan May Warren. So you'll want to stick around for that. And as always, check us out at literaryescape.com and become a member of our book club. We have some fun events we are working on putting in place to meet all of you.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.